Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, 18th May 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So, Derek, at the start of this week, what's in focus and what are you looking out for?
Well, the pound has been the underperformer in the G10 FX space since the beginning of May, down about 3%. And I think that's likely to continue. We've been highlighting the potential for underperformance in our FX weekly. And I think the kind of backdrop is still pointing to the pound versus the dollar dropping below the 120 level, for example. Over the weekend, we've had some comments from the Bank of England's chief economist, Andy Haldane. And while I don't expect negative rates to be implemented by the Bank of England or the MPC, there was certainly an element of a shift from Andy Haldane. Now, Haldane is one of the more dovish members of the MPC. So I'm not suggesting it's an indication of what's to come, but it does indicate that there is some debate, at least within the MPC, over the potential of implementing negative rates going forward. And the fact that he suggested that all policy options are being looked at with greater immediacy, it certainly does, I think, raise the prospect of the markets looking at it with more credibility. And I think that potential is there for fueling further pound selling over the short term. I think also, up until now, really, the government and Boris Johnson have had general support amongst the population over its handling of COVID. But some polls over the weekend suggest that this is now changing, which is not surprising given the UK is the worst in the world in terms of total deaths outside of the United States. And I think that's now beginning to have an impact with support dwindling. So support dropped in an opinion survey over the weekend by 9 percentage points. And there's now a negative disapproval over the handling of COVID for the first time since the virus broke. So again, the political pressure could start to intensify, and that could undermine confidence to a degree going forward as well. And then this week, we've got a host of economic figures to be released. Now, the markets are obviously very well positioned for the horrible data that's coming. But there's quite a lot of data in the UK this week, and that kind of is a standout relative to elsewhere, and that could weigh on the pound a little bit as well. And then finally, we have in Parliament, the Immigration Coordination Bill, its second reading, which is in relation to Brexit. And also then the Trade Bill will have its second reading debate on Wednesday. So Brexit coming back into focus on the political front. And of course, the outlook there is not particularly favourable at the moment, given the negotiations last week went poorly. So on top of everything, we have also the Brexit uncertainty that's going to come back into play. And I think all of this over the short term suggests further potential downside pressures for the pound. And of course, the UK has the worst current account deficit in GDP terms amongst the G10 countries. And in today's world, I think that also will weigh on the currency going forward.
And I know from our previous conversations, Derek, that you have a bias in favour of the US dollar. Is that still the case?
Yeah, we still think equity market-wise, generally, we're at the kind of expensive side of where we are or where we should be. And therefore, the risk bias is certainly to the downside. And, over the weekend, Fed Chair Powell spoke on CBS News. And certainly listening to that, again, you get the sense that the Fed are quite pessimistic and maybe quite concerned over those risks and the potential for an asset price correction. And he outlined the fact that confidence may not return until there is a vaccine in place. Because even if policies are reversed and lockdowns are rolled back, at the end of the day, it's about confidence amongst households to go back to normal. And purchases of big ticket items, for example, is that something that's likely over the coming months as households find their feet again and we go back to some form of normality? I think it's going to be a very long, drawn-out process. And also, the Fed released its financial stability report over the weekend. And again, there was an emphasis on the risks of asset price corrections to the downside. The Fed can deal with liquidity, but it cannot deal with solvency. And the longer we stay in a situation of severe economic disruption, the greater the risks become of those solvency problems coming to the fore. And as that kind of plays out, the greater the risks then of a further equity market correction to the downside. So I think those are all elements to be watched. You know, I can understand lockdowns are reversing and therefore we're going in the right direction. And relative to where we were a couple of weeks ago, that's better news. But there's still a lot of elevated risks over the short term, and for that reason, we stick to the dollar. Although again, we're not talking about substantial dollar appreciation from here, given what the Fed has done and what the Fed have implemented to address dollar illiquidity problems. But certainly, over the short term, we would still have a bias for the dollar to strengthen against most currencies.
Right, and finally, Derek, what trade ideas are you currently running?
Well, the fresh trade idea that we highlighted in our FX Weekly on Friday was long Russian ruble versus the Kiwi dollar. Bit of a strange pairing, perhaps, but the macro backdrop to that is relatively simple. It's highlighting the fact that crude oil is rallying, and again today, first thing this morning, crude oil prices are higher. Also, if you look at dollar ruble, technically, it does look like it's about to breach some key support levels and move further to the downside. So some Russian ruble outperformance, mainly just on the oil story, to be honest, and just the scale of selling that we had during the severe period of the crisis, that some further reversal is possible. And then on the selling side, the Kiwi dollar, again, it's more central bank action, and the RBNZ have been extremely aggressive in terms of its quantitative easing program, despite the fact that New Zealand is one of the countries that has dealt best with COVID. The policy stance still points to New Zealand dollar underperformance. So long Russian ruble, short Kiwi dollar. And then we continue to run our short dollar yen and short euro Swiss. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're bullish on the dollar against most currencies, but not against dollar yen. And we still see upside for the Japanese yen in terms of its substantial external surplus. On top of that, you have inflation expectations falling in Japan, and the BOJ have very little more that they can do to shift inflation expectations. And of course, with inflation expectations falling, that helps to lift real yields, and that makes the recycling of those large current account surpluses that bit more cumbersome, and that tends to put upward pressure on the Japanese yen. And then, of course, the drop in oil. Yes, okay, oil, as I've mentioned a moment ago, is recovered. But the bigger picture, we've had a substantial drop from the highs before COVID. And that's going to have an impact on, a positive impact on Japan's trade balance, given the level of imports of energy that Japan undertakes. And again, that's another yen supportive. So by and large, we still see the yen as the outperforming currency in the G10 space.
Thanks very much, Derek. Have a good week and speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.